welcome to another edition of Medicare Simplified with your host, Dave Miller.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another edition of Medicare Simplified. I'm your host, Dave Miller, and I got lucky to get Jeff Bellomo back on with us. We're going to talk about pre-planning for future events, and I'm just going to stop right there. I'm going to let Jeff elaborate on that, and I'll tell you what, he's the man to go to when it comes to planning things like this. So give me 1 second, and I'm going to bring him in here. Jeff, welcome back.
Ah, thank you so much, Dave. Looking forward to this.
Now, Jeff, as you recall, when we did the previous podcast, I had a little surprise for you.
You did.
That nice little video of the Eagle Ray.
Yep.
I got another surprise for you, Jeff. You ready?
All right. Let's see it.
Here we go. What do you think about this guy, Jeff?
Beautiful. Oh, I love them. Oh, so cool.
Now, this guy actually came up to me. I'm going to rewind it real quick. He came up to me and he waved at me and then started drifting away. And then he saw I wasn't following him. So he came back, waved at me again. And this time I followed him. And this was near Turtle Island, just off of Bonaire.
Yeah.
And he took us over to where there were about 70 turtles nesting for the day because they work at night and they were all resting and sleeping. And he took us right to him. He knew exactly what we were looking for.
Oh, wow. You know, when I was in Bonaire, we saw that as well. But that was gorgeous, man. I didn't get that close. That's incredible.
That was 35 feet underwater.
Wow.
And
that's great.
He was such, and if you notice the white in there, that's bleaching. It's destroying the coral.
Yeah.
It's really bad right now. And it breaks your heart because it was so beautiful 5 years ago. And now I don't know what it is or what's causing it, but you know, it was just when you can interact with sea life, that's what makes diving so exciting.
Yeah, it is.
It's so much fun.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really sad what's going on.
But for the audience out there, Jeff and I are both diehard scuba divers. But our passion is scuba diving, but also taking care of the senior market. Me and myself with Medicare and protecting your retirement funds from the stock market crashes that are inevitable from time to time, but also from just losing money on fees that are unnecessary.
Yeah.
Jeff, on the other hand, he helps protect you through legal means. And we just talked about nursing homes and what can happen. So this time, Jeff, let's talk about how to get ready for that before it happens. When's a good time to start planning?
Yeah, you know, always ahead of time is better. You know, I always tell people when you turn 18, you are presumed to be an adult, and therefore you definitely, absolutely, unequivocally want to have a power of attorney in place. So anybody over the age of 18 needs to get an estate plan in order. And then as you get into more complex stuff where you start to plan ahead for long-term care, now you're in a five-year look back. So, you know, to just kind of summarize, I would say today is the best time to plan. And you want to make sure that you get some of the basics, which I'm sure we'll talk about, in order, so that in case something happens down the road, you are prepared. And the problem that we're facing is we don't know when we're going to become disabled. We have no idea when we're going to lose capacity. We have no idea when we might get a stroke or an aneurysm or something that could cause a major issue. But the point where you don't have capacity anymore and you don't have your documents in place, now you're forced to go into a court proceeding called a guardianship. And we want to avoid that at all costs. So we want to make sure we get that stuff done ahead of time while we're still able and we have the capacity to do so.
Now, you talk about power of attorney, but also shouldn't somebody have a living will?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, one of the things I get asked all the time, and I'll definitely touch more on the living will, but no matter where I am, I hear, Jeff, what do I need? You know, tell me what I need. And I always laugh and say, if you think that without knowing who you are, what's important to you, your goals, your finances, your health, your children, what they're like, what's their marriage is like, what are their finances like? If you think that I could just answer that question without knowing anything, you're giving me way too much credit. And I am not that smart. But what I can say is that there are some basics and you just nailed it. I think that the two most important are going to be a financial power of attorney and an advanced healthcare directive. So an advanced healthcare directive is a medical power of attorney or medical proxy. I'll just kind of use the words interchangeably here. And then in the same document with the medical power of attorney, then has a living will, which is, okay, the medical power is who's going to make my decisions if I need medical decisions to be made for me. And then part two is, okay, if I am end of life, permanently unconscious, terminally ill, vegetative, comatose, two qualified physicians put in writing that there is no realistic hope of recovery, do I want heroic and life-saving measures, or do I want them to withdraw treatment? Only at that point does the document kick in, and then your wishes are in the document, and then you can also say whether your agent or person or proxy that you have named must follow your instructions. So it's allowing you to be able to determine end-of-life decisions so that your family doesn't have to play, you know, God or make this massive decision for you. They get to just carry out the wishes that you set forth in the document. So I think it's absolutely one of the most important documents that you absolutely should have in place.
And I have a living will because just what you said, but also there are things in there that I know my daughter, my son, you know, they can't make this kind of decision. It would tear them apart. So I made the decisions for them.
Yeah. And which is so much easier.
Which in there I put, before you yank my plug, I want each one to have a moment with me by themselves. And then I want all of them together with a pastor. And that's my preference. And a few minutes with the pastor in there, maybe a prayer. And then I want everyone to leave. I want the doctor to come in and yank the plug. And that can't be overridden, can it?
I mean, anybody could threaten suits and anyone can, but ultimately the court is going to honor your wishes if they try to pursue it. But, you know, our system is set up that anyone can threaten suits and can threaten lawyers. But yeah, I mean, your wishes will be carried out for sure. So I always tell people, make sure you're communicating your wishes to your family. In 20 years, what I find is that most family members don't fight over what dad wanted. What they're fighting over is what they believe dad intended. And I know that sounds like semantics, and I know you're thinking, Jeff, that's the same thing. No, it really isn't, because I can tell you hundreds of times over the last 20 years where one child says to me, I know that dad wanted. And then the other one tells me, I know that dad wanted. And they're exactly opposite. There is no possible way that they're both right. But they truly believe it. I mean, both of them are steadfast in their belief that this is what dad wanted. So if they know, and it's unequivocal, especially if it's in writing, right? Like, that's the key. Put it in writing, make it not wishy-washy. I don't find that children generally fight in those instances. Where they're fighting is where it's not in writing, it's not clear, and now it's he said, she said. Well, of course they're going to fight over that.
And of course, that's the reason you get a regular will.
Yes.
And I will add something that I learned when I did mine. For example, I have some things that my dad gave to me. And some of these things go back to World War I.
Oh, wow.
So I specified son number one gets this item. Son number two gets this item. Daughter gets this item. Specified which item goes to who. No probating, no arguing, no fighting. It's in black and white. For example, if you have 10 gold bars and you have two kids, each one gets 5. There's no question. It's in writing. Well, I should get 6. I'm older. Well, I should get 6. I paid for this and that. No, you're getting 5. He's getting 5. It's in black and white. It's in the will. Contest it all you want. It's legal. It's binding, correct?
Yeah. Yeah. Now, the one thing I will say is that probate is the process by which we carry out wishes that are in your name alone. So in your example, gold bars, you know, I'm just using the example that you use, would be in your name alone. That would go through your will, and the will would go through probate. But you are correct. It would definitely be 5 bars each, and they couldn't contest that, and it would go end up going the way that you want it to go. But probate is just a process by which we actually carry that out and make sure that the inheritance taxes are paid and that the beneficiaries get what they're supposed to. But I'm completely on board with everything you said. Yes.
One thing that the listeners need to watch out or listen to is when I did this one podcast with Matt and Alina, the one thing that avoids probate, life insurance. Having life insurance, yeah, The money goes to whoever the beneficiary says. There is no probate and there's no inheritance tax.
And it's not subject to creditors.
Correct.
Yeah. So it's a perfect.
One thing I'm going to discuss with Matt on the future podcast with him coming up in a few weeks or maybe a month. I haven't scheduled it yet. In fact, I need to record it. That might help.
There you go.
But Jeff, when you're talking probates and wills, it can get ugly sometimes, can't it?
Yeah, you know, it definitely can. I mean, there's always ambiguity, and as long as it's not, and as long as it's very clear, and the wishes are set forth in the document, we can usually avoid most of the problems and most of the issues.
Now, let's say mom and dad are in their mid to late 80s.
Okay.
We'll say dad had some kind of an internal issue, whatever you want to use. And he wound up in a hospital. He's in a nursing home. It's obvious he's going to be in there for an extended time. In fact, he may not come home.
Okay.
And this does unfortunately happen to people late in life if they have a major surgery. So they're in a nursing home, let's say 3 years, and he passes.
Okay.
Now, we're talking a lot of money, and Medicare, as you know, first 100 days are covered. After that, you're on your own. Of course, it's with a copay. And then after 100 days, you're talking a lot of money. I believe you said in previous podcasts around close to $15,000 a month. That's $180,000 a year. Now, I don't know about you, but I can't afford $180,000 times three. And inflation, cost of living, you know, it's just going to go up. So Medicaid kicks in, as we talked about. And then when they go into Medicaid, they take you off the Medicare plan you're on, just so the listeners know. And now you have medical assistance through Medicaid. In other states, it's known as other names, but it's still the same basic principle. Now, when the person dies, the state's going to want to try and get some of that money back. How do you prepare for that, Jeff?
Yeah, you plan ahead, you know, and I know that we're sort of repeating a little here, and I just want the listeners to understand the importance of sort of what we're talking about is you want to make sure that everything is done ahead of time, ideally 5 years before you need a long-term care. I mean, that is the perfect situation. And the way we do it then would be with trust planning. We're going to do trust planning in the pre-planning context. I know on the last podcast, we talked quite a bit about the crisis side and that kind of stuff. On this, because we're talking pre-planning, we want to make sure that we have the trust set up ahead of time and that it's done properly so that we can eliminate the estate recovery portion or the portion of the state coming back after assets. So if done properly, the state will not have a right to recover. And again, we're playing with the state's rules, meaning it's their rules. We're not creating them. We're only abiding by them. So it's very important that you plan ahead and not get yourself in a situation where you're not doing anything or you're not planning ahead. And then you're at the whim of the rules and then having the recovery come after the money. And then ultimately the family ends up with nothing. Get educated. You know, you definitely want to get educated, understand what pre-planning is, understand the different tools that are used in pre-planning, whether it be a financial power, a medical power, a last will and testament, maybe a revocable trust to avoid probate, and then maybe an asset protection trust to protect assets. You want to make sure you understand the concepts, understand the differences. At Belomo & Associates, we offer free educational workshops every week. We have them live. We have them live on Zoom, and we also have them pre-recorded on a link so that you can get educated at no hassle, no cost. And also, you don't necessarily have to be sitting one-on-one in front of an attorney. You want to get the education before you have to kind of make any decisions or understand exactly what you're going to do. So start with the education and then look at your situation and determine what would be the best plan for you and your family and go from there.
Now, Jeff, there's a lot of information in what you just said. And I know you want to summarize because we don't want to keep the listeners here for 45 minutes to an hour and a half. And I know you can go that. What is one thing that people always make a mistake on when they think they know how to pre-plan for this?
Well, the first thing is they go to an attorney or a law firm that does everything. You know, they did their real estate 10 years ago. They did mom's divorce or they did my brother's divorce. when you're dealing in this area, you really want somebody who does estate planning and elder law. And believe it or not, there's actually a difference between estate planning and elder law. And I know that sounds crazy, but they're actually two different practice areas. They really overlap a little, but when it comes to like a power of attorney, you want to have language in the document that authorizes planning to be done later. And 98 to 99% of estate planning attorneys do not put that language in. So you want to make sure that you get the correct power of attorney done. I think that's the number one mistake, is people going to an attorney that they just happen to know rather than somebody who specializes in asset protection and elder law. And then the other mistake that I find all the time is that a lot of attorneys who sort of dabble, or they only do this a little bit, are recommending wills, you know, wills and wills. There's a tool, there's certainly a need, there's a place, but I find that wills are probably the least important of all the things that we've discussed. Why? Well, think about it. When does a will take effect? When we pass away. So how do we make sure that there's money there when we pass away? How do we make sure that the family is protected to be able to make decisions? How do we make sure that when the kids receive the inheritance, they don't just lose it immediately to a car accident, to a nursing home, to a divorce, right? There's so much more that goes into planning than just what happens at my death. You know, my joke always is, you know, that's easy. I mean, when you pass away, it's going to go where it's going to go. And if you don't have a will, it's going to go through intestate succession to the closest living relative. But how do we do it right so that everything is put together and that everybody is protected before you pass, when you become incapacitated, and then eventually when the kids receive the money in case something happens to them? So it's a lot more sort of complicated. So I think the biggest mistakes are sort of relying on people that are not experts in the field like you are in yours.
Jeff, 15 years. I know this is a no-brainer for you. Has someone ever walked into your office without planning anything and it's already too late? In other words, a catastrophic disaster. Can you give us an example of one of those?
Yeah. You know, there was a guy that I represented beginning of my career. So we're going back probably 20, 21 years. And I represented him in a business that he had. And I was his business attorney at the time. I don't do that work anymore, but back then I did. And I would take calls from him on the weekends. I would take calls from him at nights. I mean, I really was trying to build a relationship with the guy. And years and years and years later, within the last probably 8, 9 years, he comes back to me when I'm on my own and says, I need estate planning. So he did the workshop. He understood the models. He understood the costs. And he came to me and he was like, look, I can save $75 if I go downtown. And I said, yeah, but if you don't get it done right, this is going to cause a major problem. And he's like, yeah, attorneys are attorneys. You're just jealous that I'm going to go somewhere else. And I said, look, I gave you a lot of free advice over all these years. And he's like, oh yeah, $12,220. I said, what? He goes, oh, I counted it. I know how much you gave me over the 10, 15 years. He said, but this is business. And he ended up in a long-term care facility. His kids came in because they knew we represented him in his business. The nursing home referred him to our firm. And unfortunately, they lost hundreds of thousands of dollars because the plan that they got done by a general practice attorney, who was technically an estate planning attorney, did not allow in that power of attorney. So that was a massive kind of slap for me, making me realize, you know, just any document is not good enough. It's crazy how easy it is to lose that much money. But once a person becomes incapacitated, you can't change the documents.
Wow. And that can be a disaster financially. You said hundreds. That's not.
Yeah. Hundreds. And remember, he did plan. Like, that's the thing. Like, I know, you know, when you asked the question, you were probably thinking I was going to give an example of somebody who didn't plan. I'm giving an example of somebody who thought they planned and lost it. Like, that's crazy.
But they went to a general practice lawyer kind of thing.
Yeah, who was an estate planning attorney.
Specialist like yourself. And you're it's right. Like going to your general doctor and asking advice on a heart procedure that he may not know everything about. He may know, okay, well, they got to do this, that, and the other. But what they don't know is the intricacies of what actually goes on when they're doing that heart procedure. Mm-hmm. You're the specialist. I'm the general practitioner. You can ask me about it. I can give you some ideas.
Right.
But you can guide them through each and every nook and cranny and spell it out and give them everything where it may be an ugly scenario, losing a loved one. Yeah. But it's better than losing a loved one and then getting wiped out completely.
Absolutely.
And ladies and gentlemen, that's why you need Jeff.
Yeah, thank you.
That's why Jeff is on this podcast. I'm looking up for you. And Jeff and I both have a passion for educating the senior market. And in this case, you don't even have to be a senior. You could start doing this in your 30s, right? Or 20s.
Yeah. Yeah. Anybody over 18, I mean, I'm not suggesting that an 18-year-old needs trust planning. So please don't misread what I'm saying here. But at a minimum, you want to get that financial power of attorney in place. And then once you sort of get on your feet, maybe you get married, maybe you have a child, make sure you get that estate planning in place. And then, you know, when you get into your 40s and 50s and start to accumulate a little bit, then you might want to start looking at some trust planning and some asset protection planning.
Especially if you're married.
Yes.
Because one of the things that, okay, I have a large life insurance policy. But the reason I do is because, one, I was young and it was cheap. If I were to get that same policy today, I couldn't afford it.
Couldn't afford it. Yeah,
but
I agree.
Why did I do that? One, I want to make sure the house gets paid off so the family's not homeless or going to Section 8 housing. Two, I want to make sure my kid gets college education or some kind of secondary education. I want to make sure they have money to live. If the water heater blows, I don't want them taking out a loan. And that was the idea behind insurance. Jeff is talking today about what happens if my husband or my wife is in a nursing home. All of a sudden I'm paying this copay and now I'm paying $15,000 a month. And then I run out of money and then they're going to come after the home. They're going to come after anything they can. They put a lien on your name, your house, and they'll get it.
Just make sure you plan ahead. I think that is the key to all of this is, it's never too early. It can only be too late.
And that is a fact. But I know you've seen pros and cons on both sides, haven't you?
Oh, yeah.
What else would you like to advise listeners on as far as planning ahead?
Definitely get educated. You know, make sure that you're understanding the options, understanding what's occurring. It's never too early. And, you know, you want to get these things updated. I think that the old school belief was you get planning in place and then 20 years later, you look at it again. Don't do that. Revise it, look at it, keep on top of it. I'm not suggesting you need to redo the whole thing, but powers of attorney do need to be redone and revisited every so often as banks and financial institutions don't want them to be too old. So just make sure you have a relationship. The days of meeting an attorney once and doing something one time 20, 25 years ago, those days are over. So hopefully you like the attorney. And if you don't, go somewhere that you like the person because it's a relationship.
Now, Jeff, if someone has, say they have two annuities, a traditional and a Roth, they have a life insurance policy and they wind up in a nursing home. They've been there for 2 years, of course, money's gone. Can the Medicaid reimbursement, can they tap into those annuities and life insurance policies? Can they get that money?
Well, they wouldn't have been able to qualify with them in their name alone. So that means that they would have had to spend them down up front. The only way you qualify for Medicaid is to spend down those assets and then they'll put a lien like on the house, for example. We were talking about the house earlier, but they'll never qualify without having to spend them down or go to an attorney and do crisis planning. So those assets are an available resource. They would have to be spent down or protected in another route. So now the only thing of the situation that you mentioned was if it's a term life insurance policy, they won't touch that. If there's cash value, anything over, I think it's $1,000 these days, that would count.
And again, the annuities aren't going to protect you. You have to spend it. And in some cases, the companies have to pay for a rider on that or take the penalty.
Yeah.
And with life insurance, a universal life, which does build cash value, you're going to have to spend that cash value out. And Jeff, I'll tell you what, you're really helping people learn. And I can't tell you how much I value your wisdom and knowledge and experience.
Thank you, Dave. Yeah, I had a lot of fun today, man. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
In fact, maybe down the road we'll come up with something new that we can come up with for you.
Oh, we could talk for days, brother.
Especially on scuba diving.
That's right. I want to do one on that too.
We don't need a podcast for that.
Yeah, I know. That's true. But others might enjoy it. Others might like to hear about it.
You busy late in August? Because I'm going to Lake Ontario for some wreck dives.
Ooh, let me know, man. I'm in. That sounds fun.
We'll talk after we get done here.
All right, buddy. Sounds good.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jeff Bellemo from Bellemo Associates and Elder Law. The man, the company you need to plan for what might, could, or possibly will happen and save you from being totally wiped out if one of you wind up in a nursing home for any length of time and passing. Not a conversation you want to have, one you need to have, and Jeff is the man to have it with. Jeff, what is your number again?
Yep, 717-845-5390, or on the web, www.bellomoassociates.com. B as in boy, E-L-L-O-M-O.
Jeff Bellemo, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your time, your wisdom and knowledge, and willing to share, Jeff.
Thanks, Dave. Have a great day, everyone.
Yep, and that ends another episode of Medicare Simplified. I hope you took some notes. You will be able to look at this podcast over and over, and definitely get a hold of Jeff if you have questions. Go to his free workshops. Yes, they're free. They don't cost a dime. All he asks you to do is pay attention, take notes, and if you want, later, book an appointment with him. It's been great talking with you today. I look forward to continuing our journey together and doing things right the first time. Have a great day. If you've enjoyed this podcast and don't want to miss future episodes of Medicare Simplified with me, Dave Miller, please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to check out my book, Medicare Ready, Set, Go, available on Amazon in paperback and Kindle format. If you're looking for Medicare advice, please reach out to me at dave@mig4u.net or online at mig4u.net.